O praise the Lord, ye angels of his, ye that excel in strength. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. To be perfectly honest with all of you, we are actually skating on liturgical thin ice this morning by anticipating the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels, which is actually on Wednesday this coming week. But since it's our usual custom to celebrate Michael and his company of heavenly help on the closest Sunday to the feast day, I've actually decided not to worry about the liturgical police coming after me. At any rate, it is a major feast, so much so that in the English-speaking world, it marks the start of the autumn term in colleges and universities. Even at Trinity College here in Toronto, where I went, the fall term is known as the Michaelmas term. And of course, we know that fall has arrived when we see the lovely purple Michaelmas daisies. I think we even have some in our own church garden. But what is this perhaps strange feast that we celebrate? Is not all this talk of angels the stuff of fantasy and fiction? Because the truth is, I think many good and faithful Christians find it difficult to accept the existence of angels, probably because the most common image we have of them is the whimsical cherub with the perfect pink skin strumming a golden harp sitting on a puffy cloud. And I think one thing this feast does is to actually blow that image right out of the water. Yes, we have Jacob's dream, where he sees a procession of angels ascending and descending a ladder to heaven. But we also have the words of John. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they were defeated. You see, this feast reminds us about the reality of powers and principalities at war with each other, the ongoing battle of good against evil, light against darkness, life against death, and the ultimate assurance that God wins. In his lovely sonnet for Michaelmas, the poet and priest Malcolm Gate puts it like this. Michaelmas gales assail the waning year, and Michael's scale is true, his blade is bright. He strips dead leaves and leaves the living clear to flourish in the touch and reach of light. Archangel, bring your balance. Help me turn upon this turning world with you and dance in the great dance. Draw near, help me discern and trace the hidden grace in change and chance. Angel of fire, love's fierce radiance, drive through the deep until the steep waves part. Undo the dragon's sinuous influence and pierce the clotted darkness in my heart. Unchain the child you find there, break the spell, and overthrow the tyrannies of hell. The word angel in Scripture simply means messenger, someone or something who brings us a message from God. The Oxford English Dictionary definition is this: a divine attendant, a divine attendant. And perhaps this helps in our feeble attempts to understand. Genesis tells us that Jacob was on the trip from Beersheba to Haran. He had left the one and didn't make his destination before nightfall. He had to stop and rest in whatever place he could find, and that is what he did. and he had that dream. And when he woke up, he said, "This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. What is this place? How awesome is this place?" This place, it doesn't even have a name, you see. It's not a special grove or a stream or a rock. It's just a certain place. And it occurs to me that if this is the case, then God speaks through angels who are his messengers in any old place. Not just in church, not necessarily in a cloud of incense, not only through the Bible. He brings his message wherever there are people to hear it. And maybe he isn't too fussy about the place or the circumstances. If Jacob had not been sensitive to the possible address of God in any old place at all, he might well have missed the message, that message which told him that he was to possess the land on which he was lying at the moment. He was to be the father of a great nation. Just think what would have happened if his pillow had been softer than a stone, or his sleep undisturbed by dreams, or perished the thought that he was not even open to the presence of a greater power at all, if he had said, "God doesn't exist, God doesn't speak." You see, it's the possibility of being addressed that we need to concentrate on. And in being addressed, there comes the possibility of radical awakening and awareness, of understanding, of transformation and change. Over the centuries, there have been so many people who have received messages from God in one form or another that some of the heavenly hosts have taken on names to distinguish them from others. For example, the Archangel Michael, whose day we celebrate today, is the one who focuses for us what has been going on for a very, very long time, that cosmic battle between good and evil. There was war in heaven. Everybody knows about this great battle in one way or another. We see it in our history. We see it in our community. We sometimes see it in our churches. We often fight it within ourselves. We are no strangers to this battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And all of this is far more powerful than a cherub strumming a harp on a cloud. And this is depicted so clearly in that famous Jacob Epstein sculpture at the entrance to the Cathedral of St. Michael in Coventry. I've used this image with you before, but it's so powerful, I think it is worth reminding us of it again. There, Satan is on the ground beneath the Archangel Michael's feet. He's chained, but he's also up on one elbow. He is still, you see, a bit defiant. He's down, but he ain't out yet. We all know the truth of that as well. It's what that poet highlights when he says, "Drive through the deep until the steep waves part, undo the dragon's sinuous influence, and pierce the clotted darkness of my heart." Some angels are given proper names to denote the service they are empowered to perform. In that holy city, says St. Gregory the Great, where perfect knowledge flows from the vision of Almighty God, those who have no names are easily known. But personal names are assigned to some, not because they could not be known without them, but because their name denotes their ministry when they come among us. Michael means "who is like God." This, of course, contrasts him from the great deceiver. That great deceiver, the devil, so sneaky that he rarely comes to invite us to do evil. We would easily dismiss him for that. No, he comes to us and sits on our shoulder and whispers in our ear, and he says, "Have I got a deal for you?" And you know, it's only when we get into the deal that we realize how slippery is the path that leads to destruction. Saint Michael is our defender in that age-old battle. Another of the archangels named in Scripture is Raphael. His name means God's remedy. He is sometimes known as the healer of the earth. And so it is in this season of creation and at this time of environmental crisis, we need his strength more than ever before. And the same can be said of Uriel, who we also find in the Apocrypha. His name means God is my light, or fire of God. And his role is to direct us to the light of Christ, who leads us through the wilderness, through those raging seas, and gives us the fire of his Holy Spirit. And so many of the key moments in our Lord's earthly life, there are references to angels. His birth is announced by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel means strength of God. Thus, God's strength announced the coming Messiah, and Mary, in her own strength, responds, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And in his own earthly ministry, Jesus is assisted by angels. He wrestles in the desert, and at the end, the angels are there with him. In the fear and in the loneliness of Gethsemane, an angel is present. His resurrection is witnessed by angels. And so it is, we lift our hearts in praise to God with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Saint Gregory said that the title angel says less about an angel's nature than it does about an angel's office or vocation or job. Angels exist to glorify God, to stand as guardians over God's people, to do God's bidding in heaven and on earth, to deliver God's word and message to people, to lead worship in heaven, to assist his people on earth in prayer and supplication, to adorn and beautify heaven and earth with such pure and spiritual presence, to fight against those angels who have fallen and seek to harm and destroy the creatures of God. And in that, we see so much of our own Christian vocation. Love God, worship and glorify him, pray for his kingdom to come, and that his will be done here and now as it is in heaven already. Defend the weak and brokenhearted. Guard and watch over those of our brothers and sisters who are lowly and in need. Perhaps the most important task of the angel, the guardian angel, is to help lead each one of us to the passion of Christ and to his cross. For it is only through embracing the cross that we actually find our way to heaven. So the collect today asks that God will send the holy angels to help and defend us in our vocation of worship, of praise, and loving care for one another. While we may not necessarily hear or see the beating of wings, God's messengers do come in so many and diverse ways. May our ears and eyes be open to Michael and his companions, and with their help and attendance, may we grow closer to the one whose sacrificial blood makes all things new, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.